Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we together as a church thank you for the privilege to have union and fellowship with you. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of understanding continually enlightened as touching the subject, honor from the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to be getting into it quickly. And while I was making preparations for this meeting, and you know, just going through the materials that I was supposed to teach you with, I said, Lord, there's just a lot people truly have to know, including myself, concerning this subject. And I thought again that not just knowing it was going to be enough, but truly practicing what we have been taught. And so we're going to move quickly into our conversation. And like I said, knowing it will not be exactly enough. It's the true practice of what you are being taught that's very essential. We laid a good foundation, I believe, last week, where, you know, some things were cautioned us. And there's a reason why people call it, or I, by God's Spirit, and also by putting things in place, decide to call it honor from the heart. Because I thought that it's very easy to miss it. You know, as a preacher, one of the things that I constantly do is that I constantly pay attention to my heart. Because it's from that place where right rewards on my actions are going to be given me. So often I want to check my heart, not what I'm doing, or not what other people see me do. So sometimes you might want to ask yourself, why did you choose ministry? Then you realize that on the outside, maybe it was for fame, or it was for name, or probably it was for an opportunity that you thought will come. So I always like to check my heart. You know, one time I went with a few people and we went somewhere to sit and eat. So they were ordering their food or getting their meals. And I just was led in that moment not to eat. So while didn't know why, but afterwards I got to understand why. So while they were eating, I was just quiet and, you know, searching. I believe the Holy Spirit was doing a heart check on me. And then there was a question he put on my heart. while I was trying to check my, you know, my hearty disposition on whatever it is I was doing. And then he asked me, a simple question, which I will not ask you. I mean, I won't tell you. But then it got me thinking. I was like, oh, that means it's not about what people say. It's about what is in my heart. It's not about what someone else thinks or what other people are, you know, giving a thumbs up on. But it's about what is in my heart, what is not clear and visible to the natural eye. So while I was seated, thoughts came running through my mind. It's like, Lord, is this what it means? Take your seats now. And so, I'd like to tell you this. You need to, on a frequent basis, search what is hidden. Check whether what you're doing is truly from the heart. And that's why I want us as a church to look at this concept. There are many things that I've done that other people say, wow, oh, we are blessed. Oh, and in my heart, I'm like, Lord, no, at this time you said I should do this. I didn't really do it. But the people are actually happy. So I have to go back and I say, Lord, you asked me to do this. I honestly didn't do it. A dear man of God was with another man of God who had traveled to Nigeria. He is a Nigerian, so he traveled upside to Nigeria, to South Africa, to minister. And, you know, the power of God was all over the place. You know, the people were blessed. There were healings all over the place. And so the man of God walks to him and tells him, wow, Charlie, you've come to be a blessing to us. You've come to shake the nation for us. And while he was sharing the story, he says God told him not to go. So, while the other preacher was busy saying, wow, you've done, oh, wow. In his heart, he had his head bowed down in his heart in shame. So, oftentimes, it's not about what is done on the outward. You need to pay attention to what you do and how you do what you do. And so, the intent is for us to examine this clearly from the heart. Meaning we are seeking to delve more deeply into the subject from a place that is not really seen. You know, it's like in Isaiah 29 verse 13, where the Lord says to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, these people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So there's an honor with the lip, but the heart is very far away. There's an honor with the lips. Oh, thank you, mommy. Oh, thank you, auntie. But in the heart, you say, must we always say thank you to you? Must we? Should we? So there are people who do things on the outward, but heartily, there are a lot of questions to it. And like we saw in Romans 12, verse 1, 2. We ought not to conform to the thoughts, the beliefs, the customs, the principles of this world. So in looking at honor from the heart, there is that tendency to say, oh, I don't really care about what God has to say. You find a 13-year-old child who goes to court and he sues his parents. Hey, you have to get a house. What do you think? He confidently walks to the judge, to the court. He files a case against his parents because his parents lashed him. You see, parents lashing. So he goes to, like, hey, some people are really confident. So there's a culture. Then before you realize, he's a Christian. Then his pastor also rebukes him or something. Then he starts to now fight the pastor. Sit down. Why are you fighting your mother and father? Article 67:22, subsect 119. Article 98.7 megahertz. Why are you saying that concerning that fellow brethren in the church? Article 224. How many lawyers are here? Article 559229, subsect 129. I know my rights, 724. Say, Brother Kofi, pastor says we should go about it like this. No. Subsect 667229. Order 227. Wow. So, there's a way that the world acts. There's a way that the world handles relationships. Oh, she's not talking to me. And now, I also not talk to her. That's the end of it. She should keep her lane. Me too, I keep my lane. Everybody on their own lane. And he said, if you cross my lane. So, the world has that. If you do me, I do you. I didn't complete it, you did. I don't know what that is. How many of you know that song? Wow. So, it was top in those days. But I've always been a believer from my mother's womb. So. See, did you just hear what that prophet said? He's a false prophet. Because I said I was born again from my mother's womb. Actually, nobody gets born again from their mother's womb. So, I'm going to speak under inspiration on this, what I'm about to say. You need to be intentional about your relationships. Are you listening? Know how to handle relationships. Know how to handle relationships. You see, as a church, and as believers, if you see this in my notes, I've written speak under inspiration. It's an instruction to speak to you under inspiration concerning this. Because there are times where you don't handle relationships well. Because you do not treat and you do not allow honor in your relationships. So you must know how to handle relationships. Know how to handle the people around you. We saw how that when you're walking in honor, you're going to place value on the person, on the relationship. You're not just going to get up and insult, get up and despise, get up and walk away. No. Because when you place value on relationships, it actually shows that you are walking just like God, because he's a God of honor. So you must know how to handle relationships. Of course, in honor. Know how to handle the brethren. In honor. When I do this, I step on your feet hardly. What sound are you going to make? Jeez. But I could say, hey, I don't honor you as my brother. So step on you some more. Gonna hurt you some more. So you must know how to place value on relationships. Don't handle relationships lightly. Are you listening? So, we saw how that in Mark chapter 5, into Mark chapter 6, Jesus Christ was found doing powerful miracles. Now when I say relationships, all kind of relationships. Family, church, people who have wronged you, those yet to wrong you. Because people will always wrong you. Don't just follow your brain. Hey, me too. Hey, you do know who I am? Hey, me are crazy. Those days. Charlie, it's not me now. It's just because of pastor. Hey, Charlie. One time I found, you can say, one time I found the disciple who came to me and he said, Pastor, I have a disciple. I said, okay, what is wrong? He said, this guy did this to my disciple. And he said, Pastor, to be honest, I want to go and cut boys for him. top Osofo. He's just going to cut squad because what they did to his disciple, he didn't even really understand. I'm going to cut squad for him. I said, you know what? Calm down. So you're supposed to calm down. Do you understand? Don't cut people because they offended you. So, there's a way to handle relationships, right? You need to know how to handle them in wisdom. Because you might be amazed at why God put those relationships in your life. You will be amazed. So as part of looking at honor, we're going to endeavor to be people of such. Are you listening?
Yes.
Take your seats. I now feel like I've exhausted that inspiration. So in Mark chapter 5 into Mark chapter 6, we see how that Jesus Christ is doing miracles. People who are oozing out with blood are healed. Somebody who was possessed with demons, a legion of demons. You know a legion of demons? Theologian says it's about 6,000 in one person. If you've cast out devils before, sometimes you cast down 66. How many are still there? 72. 6,000. And he didn't say, hey, go, I won't go. They go, I won't go. This is Jesus who cast out 6,000 of them with a simple instruction, go. And 6,000 are gone. They move into a herd of swine. They drown the swine. The whole town is stirred up. Confusion. They had to send him out of town. He heals the sick. Now he gets there in Mark chapter 6. Then he meets other people. And then they are beginning to say, they were first astonished at his doctrine. This Jesus. It's Jesus. We knew him. Since when did he come? See. How old is he again? Yeah. Where's he from? Oh, we know his sister. We know his brother. We even know his mother. Oh, yeah. Mary. She has gone to do something. She has hidden behind and said that it's a supernatural pregnancy. What kind of pregnancy is this? So, while they said this amongst themselves, you realize that the power that should have come from Jesus' ministry to bless them was totally crippled. Bible says he could not do any miracle save he laid hands on a few folks and healed those folks. Because they did not place value and they did not esteem who Jesus was. So we established our first point as honoring from the heart, from a point that is not seen. You see, honor sometimes is mistaken for a lot of outward things. In fact, as I do the ministry, I've not done it, I've just done it for 2 seconds. I'm sure I still have like a lot of years. But I've just done 2 seconds. But I get to realize that it is so important that every minister, child of God included, when I say child of God, I mean you just see yourself as somebody who just comes, you don't want to do anything. That's to say that it's for everyone. Everybody ought to walk in it. Because even God himself cannot help you when you decide to walk in dishonor. Even God himself, he can't help you. Imagine Jesus wanting to heal the sick, but he can't heal the sick. And do you know what happened? He was marveled. He was shocked that he himself could not even lay hands on the sick. He was shocked that, where am I? I showed you also how that they moved to a different town. And then the miracles started flowing again. The miracles started flowing again. So, when you honor rightly, and it's from the heart, it means that it's not going to be something, we're not paying attention to the outward appearance of honor. We're talking about what is hidden on the inside, what we cannot see. So, man of God, thank you so much for you. You have helped me. Say, hey. After the man of God, hey, we can't always be like this forever. You see, then why did you do that? Why didn't you smile with your sister at the office? She leaves the office. Then now you have a side conniving partner to speak against the fellow. And sadly, that fellow is a believer. Back to my emphasis. When you honor from the heart, you're going to be thinking rightly. I get to realize that as a pastor, if you rebuke people. The ones who stay will stay. I'm telling you. You correct people. Yeah. The ones who stay will stay. The ones who wouldn't will rebel. Back to my subject. Thinking properly. So you can see that Mark chapter 6, they were not thinking properly. Where did this man get these things? What wisdom is given to him? Is this not the carpenter's son? Are these not his brothers? Then all of those things as they come. Bible says they took offense. So you're just offended. You are either angry. You are hurt. Took offense. They questioned his sincerity. And we've even heard that he now has 12 people who follow him. Have you heard that? I've heard it now. I've heard it. That guy, Judas, he's the one that keeps his money. Wow. So when we collect collection, Judas is the one that keeps the money. He's the one. So all the coins, all the shekels, we call it Judas. I even saw that there was a bag of coins. That time too, there was no bank, so maybe Judas was holding it. Remove some and put it in his pocket. I fear for people. You question a whole Jesus. So me, when I read it, I'm like, Jesus Christ, they question him, not talk of you. So he's there and questioning his sincerity. Is he really sincere? You distrust. Because if you don't distrust, you will not question what he's doing. It means there's a kind of distrust in what is going on. What is happening. You don't trust. So, and nowadays, the men of God have come. You have to be careful. You have to play, but you have to play carefully. Then your pastor, you know, sometimes will now pick you and send you to Napanduri. Say, I told you. He wants to destroy your life. He has sent you to a village. Why didn't he go? If he loves Jesus, why didn't he go? Oh my goodness. If he says your pastor, he has sent you to where? Nakmanduri. Do you know Nakmanduri? How many of us know Nakmanduri? Nakmanduri is in the north. Nakmanduri. Bunkrugu yo-yo. That's in those areas. Why? Maybe you are praying on Podbeam. You don't see me on Podbeam for 5 days. But you are praying. Say, pastors make us to be praying. He make us to be praying. They don't speak in good English. he make them to be praying. He's now sleeping. Thinking properly. Why is he making us to pray? He said he has started some prayer force. He will put prayers there, say, pray for him alone. He doesn't know that we also need prayers. The way I pray for you, and I say, pray for me too. You don't want to pray for me. Don't pray for me. You should see me praying to God for you. I can't tell you the things I pray for. Some of you, I'm praying, Lord, good husbands. Because when I look at this person, if the person doesn't get a good husband, so you see me standing before God, Lord, this person, good husband. Yeah. But the person thinks I don't want the person to marry. Oh. Can you imagine? Somebody's got to be crazy. Yeah. My God. Take your seats. Somebody told me that She got there, 78%, but she wanted 80. I said, Lord, hey, just 2 marks. Whatever I pray, I said, Lord, please, next time let the 2 marks count. I mean, that's crazy. You say, oh, pastor doesn't like me. How? Why? Why? If you see me telling God, say that, Lord, this person, please, this person. That's when I look at you like this. Sit down. So is that they were thinking, you see, if I didn't tell you, you don't know. They were thinking that, oh, he's some negative person coming to collect money, coming to take money. So distrusting a person, doubting their words, disbelieve what they tell you, fill them with reproach, you reject their counsel, not thinking rightly. When you see them, what do you see? Yeah. What do you see? Whenever I see Kenneth Hagin, I say, oh, what a grace. That's all I see. While other people are seeing other things. That's honor. So you think properly. Your mind has to be set in a certain way where it thinks properly. Yeah. You think properly. When I took you, quite a number of you went for the pastoral conference, Give Thyself Holy conference. And I saw Bishop Da. I called him. He was the one with me. I said, we're moving on to the next point, actually. I said, do you see what is going on here? Yes. I said, do you see what is going on here? He has been teaching for several hours. Nobody is sleeping. You know, many people don't recognize that. You don't recognize that. Yeah. I said, so I think there is something here. I think good about what is happening. Yeah. When you see your pastor, what do you see? Take your seats. Do you see him as a gift of God to you? Are you blessed by his words to you? Or you see him as another, like somebody that you are just supposed to flow with in a certain way, speak to in a certain way. What do you think? I told myself that I'm going to grow to be as plain as possible. Yeah, I will not hide anything from you. Or you want me to hide things from you? So when you see, what do you think? We're still on the thinking because I will not want to rush it at all. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. Acts chapter 28 from verse 1 to 10. Acts chapter 28 from verse 1 to 10. So in Acts chapter 28, something happens. Verse 1 to 10. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people shewed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang to his hand, look at what they said. They said amongst themselves. Don't forget, things that are said are things that are actually going to be conceived in the thoughts, right? No doubt, this man is a murderer. He's a murderer. He's a killer. He kills people. Pastor just wants us to serve God, serve God, serve God. He wants to murder us. No doubt, this man is a murderer. Whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. So they were talking. That was ridiculous. He's a murderer. He's a killer. He doesn't want us to be okay. Verse 5, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or falling down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him. Look what happened. What did they do? They changed their minds. So you see, at the first instant, they had things coming to them in their mind. He's a murderer. It's true. You know, in the olden times, they had a lot of, you know, superstition, just like, and some of those superstitions sometimes prove true. So they will assume those superstitious beliefs, and oftentimes the devil works through those things as well. So, for example, Jonah, when he was in the ship, right, they said, "No, the way this guy, everybody is crying, but he's sleeping. I think he's the one. Let's throw him out." So now again, they're saying, God is paying him. God is paying him. Yeah, God is paying him. God is paying him. Because if he was of God, a snake wouldn't have beaten him. God has paid him. Aha. Let's wait and see. You swell up and you die. So they were having thoughts like that. Having thoughts like that. See, we are fasting for 3 days. You think pastor wants you to get ulcer? I mean, how? How? How can you think like that? How? How can you think like that? Why should you think like that? Pastor wants you to get... So you see, they will say that, pastor wants us to get ulcer. Why would you think like that? See, the church is too intensive. Yeah, in the church, you can't even talk. They say, pastor. Now the pastor has been teaching on loyalty. So anything you say, you realize that they'll go and say it to him. So they were saying things, speaking things, talking about things, pointing hands at Paul. No, he's not of God. He's of God. He's not of God. Oh, he's not of God. So we're thinking. When they saw that no harm came to him, they began to change their minds. And they said that he was a God. So this is what happens. Take your seats. They begin to twist their thoughts concerning him. And then they began to acknowledge the supernatural on his life. That's why you can't see men from a natural standpoint of view. You can't consider them in the flesh. Because in the flesh, what is that believer? You can even lash the person. Like if they put you down squarely and they close the door and say, "Fight," you beat the person hands down. But you don't consider that. You consider that the person is your brother. Your father used to lash you 7 years ago. Now he can't try that thing. If he tries that, he'll be... If he draws, so he speaks to you like, you know, my son, now we need to really consider. So you don't look at what the flesh says. You don't pay attention to that. After all, you can catch pastor and break him into two, don't you think so? But if you, that's what you look at in the flesh. But on the other side, it's very TikTok. So when we see in the flesh, there's going to be problems. So, they're beginning to see them as a god. Take your seats. In the same quarters were professors, possessions of a chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged with us 3 days, courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux. To him, Paul entered in, prayed, and laid his hands on him and healed him. Now, why do you think Publius was healed? Publius was definitely healed because they saw Paul as supernatural. Remember, they saw him as somebody who was a murderer. Then they said, no, hey, he's supposed to die. He's not dying. We changed our minds. Means they repented concerning what they believed. Metanoia, to change your mind. So they changed their mind. They began to see that supernatural content of Paul. Then they see that he's able to heal Publius. I mean, the father of Publius who lay sick of fever. Let's continue verse 9. So when this was done, others also. So you see that? So they are beginning to acknowledge that supernatural content of Paul. Not a mere man. That supernatural content of Paul. They begin to see that. They begin to recognize that. They begin to think it. They change their mind. In their thoughts, they think it. So, when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Now, look what happens. I told you that for honor to have its effect, it first has to be from the heart. It first has to be an internally, you know, real belief. You need to have that internal, you know, conviction that this person is called of God. That person is my brother. This person is senior to me. That person is a leader. That person is a king. And so I need to honor. It has to come from an internal place. So, when they changed their minds, they began to see. They began to think properly. Then Paul is able to heal the power of Publius. Then, because they were thinking rightly, they saw. You see, the supernatural has to do with right thinking. Right thinking. That's why you get into some of the healing services we have here, and you see that the person says, before I got in, I knew I was going to be healed. How did you know? You thought about it. You believed in your heart that there was the healing power of Jesus upon God's servant to get you healed. So, he enters, he laid hands on him, and he healed him. When he was done, because they were thinking rightly, they were smart to see supernaturally. Because supernatural things are not seen with the natural eye. How would you know that he healed someone? So if I bring all other sick people, they are going to be healed. You need to be smart. You need to be intelligent. That's supernaturally being intelligent. If I am healed, then everybody else can get healed. So, because you think properly, you're able to act properly, and you're able to receive all that God wants you to receive. So they brought other people, and all of them were healed. Verse 10. Who also honored us with what? Many honors. Wow. So you see, it was first internal. It was first internal. They had to change their minds. Then when they changed their minds, they received whatever God had for them. And when they received what God had for them, they didn't just stop there. You know, oftentimes, honor is taught from substances, which is true, actually. Right? It's true. You honor with your substance. But it was after they thought rightly that they honored with their substance. Now that becomes good honoring because it's honor from the heart, thinking properly. Listen to what the NIV says. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. So now what we can see on the outward becomes what was internally done right. It's an internal thing. It's done right inwardly. Then when it shows on the outward, it has a great effect or it's powerful. So when you honor from the heart, you're going to find yourself thinking properly. Thinking properly. Many of us don't think properly. Why do you see a prophet prophesying on TV and the first thing you think is he's a con man? Have you been conned before? You'll be shocked of how I think. When I even see prophets you think I don't honor or revere. I was telling someone like that. I said, many of the people have, I don't have problems with them. I just mind my business, do what God has called me to do. I just won't watch them. But I don't have a problem with them. No. No. In fact, when I see it, I see the grace of God. Yes, I see the grace of God. If you say he opened blind eyes, but you say it was fake that he opened blind eyes. Why, your Bible, don't you see that blind eyes can be opened? Don't you watch movies that are acted and people act as men of God and they pray for people and their eyes open? You are happy with that too, isn't it? So why don't you just be happy that at least they've been able to fake a blind eye open and you press in for something that opens real blind eyes? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how to see rightly. Before you now say, hey, this men of God and they are blind eyes and they are opening their blind eyes. It's really not true. That's the last day you ever see blind eyes opened in your meetings. You will never see it, I'm telling you. It will never come to you. It will run away from you. Blind eyes, you will never see it open in your ministry. Because what you saw another do, you never placed value on. You never placed premium on. So we must think properly. Think properly. Think properly. Have good thoughts. I call Pastor Sam. He didn't pick. Then you now see me in church and you are now cold. So Pastor didn't pick my call. I think he doesn't like me. I'm sorry. I'll pick your call next time. You know? Church members are interesting to deal with. Yeah. So someone just said, I'm leaving the church. Say, Pastor didn't pick my call. You'll be shocked. The way I see him walking with this sister, I will not hide anything. I will say it. When I say it, it has a neutralizing effect. I know that. I won't keep quiet and it will now be a shock to me. I will say everything. Yeah, so there's nothing hidden. Everything is transparent. The way we see him walking with this sister, I think this, he likes this sister. That's why he doesn't pick my calls. I will say everything. Think I fear you? I don't fear anyone. Take your seat. Let me see your face as well. I don't fear any one of you. I just want you to know that. If I'm your pastor, I can't fear you. Then why do I pastor you? I can't fear you. I should look to you and correct you. Trust you. Right? Yeah. I know that this kind of thing, it has a neutralizing effect. It neutralizes your mind. So I will not be very, the honor of God. I stopped preaching like that many years ago. I mean, not many years ago, quite recently. When I saw that pastors, you don't say things with wisdom in quotes. Because while you are speaking in wisdom, somebody is digressing your wisdom and seeing it from a different angle. So you say it so the person, okay, this is what pastor is saying. Yeah, no hiding. No, I'm not too sure. Not too sure. Yes. Yeah. He only pays attention to the people who sit in front. It's like when you go, I know nobody says that, but I told you that it's a neutralizing effect. So I'm neutralizing the atmosphere. Yes. So that it will become normal. He only likes this person. He only likes this. You can give him money. Say, you give him money. Because me, I had 20 pesos. You see them walking in the church like this. Huh? They want to leave. Yes. If you don't give him money, you say, I'm not heard of that, but I think I'm prophesying. Because I'm not working. Yes. Those watching me on YouTube. I feel an effect. I feel an effect. Yeah. Yeah. An effect of the teaching. Yeah. So it will save you from trouble. You see, thinking wrongly. No, everybody, we are all free. May I tell you everything I want to tell you? Except that you don't give me that room. Right? So if I will not hide it from you, don't say things behind my back. At least come and say it to me. Yeah, so I can help you to go out of it. Take your seats. Yeah. So honor from the heart. You think properly. You think properly. You think properly. You think properly. Gonna hit on this one. You think, it's the first point of dishonor, to think wrongly. First point, I'm telling you, first one. Yeah. Yeah. Your father is taking care of you. And you now do not think properly about him. Say, I think my father is cheating with my mother. Your mouth is worrying me. This thing I'm saying, I'm talking about something important. Why don't you just mind your business and see him as your father? It's not your problem. Yeah, so my mother is sitting on my father. I say, hey, please, 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 don't tell me some of these things. Mind, let's pray to God to help us and help you, because you don't know what you are doing. And you don't know where you'll be. So why don't we just face, let's just put that aside. Let's face ourselves. Never be somebody that chooses to walk in any kind of form of dishonor. Never. Never. When you see, be praying for yourself. Pray for yourself. I said what? you think properly. Why are they telling us to be on time at meetings? It's not, at least church, you have to have a free life. Yes. We stand up, they say stand up, you sit down, you say don't sit down. So someone has come to tell that policeman, when we are praying, everybody's supposed to be standing. So I have a knee pain, but you don't have any knee pain. So you think properly. You think properly. Anything that causes you not to think properly, avoid them. Avoid those things. Avoid those things. Now, all of these things that I'm saying, it's not any one of you. So don't say that maybe he's preaching to someone. I'm not preaching to anyone. I don't have one person in my mind. Yes. I'm just teaching you what I ought to teach you. So you don't fall prey for some of these things that destroy and that make you walk in dishonor. So when you honor from the heart, you think right, wow, that's a blessing. Wow. Wow. I'm really blessed. Oh, what a blessing. The word blessed me today. I was really blessed. You go back, you text your friend, say, were you blessed by the, I was blessed. Pastor's taught us to walk in, to think rightly. Your boss that you have been thinking wrongly of, he doesn't want to give you off days, shift days, think wrongly. You go to the office. Good morning. Your good morning is short. I think my boss doesn't like me. I think my friend doesn't, I think my boss doesn't treat me well. He doesn't treat me like a person. I don't feel like I'm loved in the place. I think today I'm teaching good. Setting all the practical examples for you. Nobody should miss. Do you think I'm teaching good? When you marry, you see. Newly married couples. When you see the man walk in, you think right thoughts about him. Think right thoughts. But after years, couple of years, you go away there. Take your seats, I'll come back there. So, when, try to make this as practical as possible. You think rightly. Think rightly. I met someone like that, man of God, many years back. I was speaking about another man of God. I just said, boy, his ministry is blessing lives. Let's just focus on that one. I didn't say let's just focus on that. I said, but his ministry is blessing lives. Because he was senior to me. I said, oh, but his ministry is blessing lives. Thank God for him. Because they want to put there are wrong thoughts, poisonous thoughts, venomous thoughts into your mind. And then you begin to see differently. That's the next one we are going to. When you honor from the heart, you're going to learn to acknowledge. A person. You're going to learn to acknowledge a person. Look at 2 Kings chapter 3. What I'm teaching you, you're going to be blessed and anointed. People will not even understand. Amen. They will look at you. Your life will be oiled. Jesus.
Amen.
You'll be anointed.
Amen.
In a greater measure, because we all have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but there's a measure. Yeah, there's a measure. It's only from the heart it can flow. Apart from the heart, it won't flow. It won't flow. Your boss is going to love you. Me, my boss loved me. Take your seats. Love me to the core. Yes, love me. Would have done anything to keep me. Yeah. When I resigned, he sat me, he said, please, what should I do? What can we do? I said, there's nothing to be done. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But some of your bosses are praying that you should go. They've not told you, but they are praying. The moment you say, I want to go. Say, what did you say? Tell the secretary, bring me a letter right now. Silent. Please. Let's do a send-off service for him quickly. Tomorrow we are having a send-off service. Wants you to go. So, honor from the heart. You're able to acknowledge a person. 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 11. This was a story of when Elisha met the rebellious king. He says, but Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, why do you want to involve me? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to deliver us into the hands of Moab. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives whom I serve, if I did not have respect for your presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not pay attention to you. Some verses say, I will not lift up my head to look at you. I will not acknowledge you. I will not acknowledge you. I, if it was not because of the king, it means that when you honor a king, you are aware of his presence with you. That's why when you come to church very casually, you must check your heart. I wouldn't have lifted up my head, oh King Jehoshaphat, to even look at you. I won't mind you. But it's because of the regard I had for you. You know, I was reading Acts account where Paul stood before the high priest and he exhibited some arrogance and he was informed that, oh, that's the high priest. Suddenly he quickly apologized. Yeah, that was the only time Paul disobeyed the high priest. He spoke against him and then he apologized quickly. So it means when you acknowledge somebody, you're able to identify the person. You're able to make identification of the person from other people. You notice. You're able to notice. I told you how a story where after the end of the service, in one of the teachings, I called one of the people I went with. I said, it's amazing what is happening in this place. We were there for several hours. Yeah. several hours, maybe 7 or 8 hours. And when you came out of the teaching, you couldn't tell you were in an 8-hour teaching. I mean, that is the grace of God. It has to be a gift to have that effect. Yeah, it doesn't just happen. So I called him, I said, do you recognize what's going on here? I said, yeah. I said, do you recognize that that is a gift? He said, yes. So when you're able to acknowledge something, as a church, we must be able to acknowledge what God is doing in our midst. That's how he can keep doing what he's doing on a constant basis. When you don't acknowledge it, you don't honor it from your heart. There's an inner, you know, acknowledging that this thing has to be God. This person is somebody I revere. This is somebody that I have, you know, I'm intentional about. Yes. If it's not for God, O King Joseph, I wouldn't lift up my head to look at you. I wouldn't lift up my head to look at you. So when your pastor is talking to you, your boss is talking to you, your parents are talking to you, and then you're on your phone. You see, you're not lifting up your head. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, that's dishonor. You can't lift up your head to look at the fellow. I told you, don't think like the world. The world has many disbenefits. Are you listening? So you can't lift up your, you can't acknowledge the gift of God. You can't acknowledge the grace of God. You can't acknowledge the power of God. Or you don't acknowledge it. You don't see it. You don't see the beauty of it. There are people too still today who talk about Kenneth Hagin badly. Somebody who has over 60 million prints of materials of books sold around the world. You are struggling to even share one in Accra, Central. You say, buy my book. It will bless you. Huh? If you buy it, you'll be intelligent. 60 million. 60 million. Do you know million? I didn't say do you know. I said do you know million? Take your seats. And you cannot acknowledge. Some of you, your friends get good marks in school. And some of you should say the person has done well. You say that the person is learning too much and is too much for you and you are not like that. You are just not serious. Let's come to that thing. Some of you should see it. Me, I've always had that honor in my heart. Yes. I'm able to recognize good things about people. And I'm able to celebrate those things. Yeah. I'm able to celebrate those things. I saw a dear man of God this morning while I was just on Facebook before I got into church. And then, the person had a meeting. The meeting was glorious. And I said, I lifted up my hands in my room. I said, Lord, thank you for this brother. Not that, oh, the reason why he's gathering the people is because, it's because of what? You can't acknowledge that the hand of God is upon somebody. Oh yeah, you can acknowledge that the hand of God is upon somebody. And so, your brother flows in the things of the Spirit. Instead of you to say, wow, I'm telling you, that's wonderful. Hey, I'm blessed by your flow. Can we have more flows together? Can we flow in the things of the Spirit together? Oh, you bless me a lot. I saw that you said this thing. What did it mean? What does it mean? You now say, oh, It's not anything. It's not anything. I can also do it. You can't do it, my brother. You can't do it. But if you humble yourself and get closer, you will be able to do it. You can't do it. At least you have that inherent ability too, but you don't know how to. So you see people walking and saying things in their minds. Oh, what is so special about it? What's so special? Well, what is so special? It's not really special, you know. It's just one of those things. And many people who talk like that, they never experience the gift and the grace of God. I can tell you for free. But when you can recognize some of you don't recognize good marriages. Saying when we to be married, we'll be, hey, my brother, my sister, recognize it. Don't say that when you'll be able to. No, don't do that. Be somebody that is able to recognize something that is good. Acknowledge it. Be able to see it. You should be able to see it. You should be able to see it. You should be able to see it. And when I see the gift of God, the grace of God, I recognize it. Yeah. God is helping you to see the things that you should recognize. You will not be blind any longer. Yes. Sometimes the reason why you're struggling, take your seats, is because that friend that was given to you, you never recognized their reason in your life. Maybe you are not good at math. Your best friend is good at math. But that best friend, you won't humble yourself for her to teach you. Because you are the one with the beauty, you see. You are the one that is beautiful. She's not really beautiful like that. I mean, according to eyes of the beholders. Instead of you should humble yourself and let her teach you. You will not do it. My very good friend called me yesterday at almost 12. From ages past. Yeah. And he said, oh, prof. I sent you a letter. I said, yes, I've seen it. He said, should I accept? I said, yes, I've seen it. He said, yes, you can accept. I said, prof, work on a proposal acceptance for me. Yeah, my good friend. I have good friends. Please, can you work on a proposal acceptance letter? And I know that his English is not really good when he types, but I'm his friend. Yes. And I'm yet to work on it. So I told him that, don't worry, I'll work on it. I'll send it to you. I'm his good friend. You see, I recognize him as my friend. I was the one that said, do this now. Don't wait. Do it now. And he listened. So when you can recognize, that's a good friend. Nobody has treated me right like he has treated me before. Oh yes. Oh yes. I'm telling you. Yeah. Made me feel loved, made me feel appreciated, cared for me. I mean, bought food for me, everything while I was in school. Why wouldn't I do it for him? Even if I have become whatever, I'll still get some and say, hey, work on it for him. He can't type so much. Work on it for him. Because I recognize. I can see. I recognize that. So it's an internal thing that you're able to understand. Some of you have very good friends, and because of things that have happened, you can't acknowledge, you can't see all the things that they have done for you. You walk out of them like nothing ever happened between the two of you. God is not happy with you. I'm telling you. They were there for you. They stood with you. People people criticizing you, they stood by you. Your dirty secrets, they are the only one that knows. You're looking at me right now. All the things that you did quietly, they knew. They never shared it with another. And then you walk out of someone like that's life. Don't do that. Can't you see that that is the person you should recognize? That's a person to recognize. There are not too many. There are not too many. My very good friend calls me. Paul, please, can you pray for me? You see me pray, Kalabasha. I'll be praying with him and he'll sleep. I'll say, hello. Hello. You know how they pray. I know. Pardon me. See someone snoring. As a pastor, I said, no. At least I tell people, call him. They won't call him. Once this sister or this brother has called him, it's better. It's better. It's not better. I said, I don't fear any of you. That's how the sermon is today. It's not the formal one. It's honor from the heart. No pretense. Don't pretend. You don't need to pretend. Take your seats. You talk about your boss, sir, from morning. Talk about when you can, boss. Yeah, boss. You're welcome. Don't do that. What I will not say to anybody. I can say anything to you. Yes. As a congregation, I should be able to tell you. So you're able to acknowledge. Eh? Acknowledge. Are you going to learn to acknowledge? When you see someone who is gifted, don't treat it like it's normal. And you also can do it. It's not anything. No. So Elijah, the prophet, Elisha is saying that if it was not for you, I would not lift up my head. So when you honor someone, you acknowledge them. You recognize. You have a deep respect for them. So a lack of your respect for somebody will show that I don't acknowledge you. So when you don't, for example, when you don't communicate, it means I don't acknowledge you. Because to acknowledge rightly, you should communicate. Eh? Learn to communicate. We tell you to do something, we don't hear from you again. No call, no text. You communicate. You're not silent. You're not silent. Many people are silent in many cases. And silence many of the times is where the person is working in dishonor. Intentional dishonor. And you know what the person will say? If you talk, trouble. If you don't talk, trouble. What should we do now? No communication. You don't say anything. You don't say a word. You are quiet. Look at you, you are still quiet. Never says anything. Never contributes anything. I feel my opinion is really not important. That's a proud fellow. Say what you have. Then we can correct you. Then you can grow to say even more. Then those things you say will be right. No communication. No communication. No communication. You don't acknowledge. You don't recognize. You're quiet. You're quiet. Yeah. You're quiet. Married couples, you enter into the house. Quiet. We don't acknowledge you. We don't acknowledge you. Those times, every 20 minutes, please, I'm on my way to 1 hour. I've arrived. This, I'm now. You don't say, oh, why is he trying to God my life? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of the small children here, how they call me. You even say, hey, so you call Pastor like, yes, they call me like that. I see that as honor. Or you rather think it's dishonor. Communication is honor. It means that I recognize you. I can see what you are doing. Identify your presence. So when you get into a room and you see that everybody's on their phones, everybody is texting, everybody is right somewhere on the roof, nobody acknowledges anything. That's dishonor from the heart. There's not a response to it. And it's fixed in the heart, like I always say, before the action shows. And you say, oh, if my father will not call me, I won't call him too. Dishonor from the heart. I'm telling you, if you don't go, I won't call him, it's not my fault. Mommy, if you call me, I won't call him, it's not my fault. But when you cannot acknowledge, you can't see, you can't have regard. When you're going for a visa interview, they tell you sit down. You see how you sit straight. US interview. Check and see. Sit straight. Then you now come to church and you now say, like this. And they also say, please, ma'am. Please, ma'am, can you sit straight, ma'am? Hey, you want church to that you come to? Sit straight. One church to that you come to? Sit straight. Stand straight. We are tired. Ah! Did we come to worship God or we came to stand and sit? Yeah. See your father holding a bowl to the kitchen. So allow him. We're all in the house together. We're all in the same house. Nobody does that. Let's be right thinking. When I make certain examples, don't think I'm referring to somebody. I'm not. I've always told you, I'm sincere. If I were, I'll call the person, I'll say, you are the one I'm talking about. A wife who is married, you can't even acknowledge that your husband is back home. Ooh. The food is in the fridge. The food is in the fridge. You can heat it. The microwave is not working, but you can set the cylinder up and heat it. you are here, you'll be on fire. The ladies say, you think he's biased with ladies? He wants us to be submissive. It's not what the word of God says. And you husbands will love your wives as well. You won't hurt them. It's the message I wanted to teach some days back, but you were very fortunate you didn't hear. Take your seats. It was the first time I was going to bash the guys. Very much. Yeah. It's in the fridge. It's in the fridge. It's in the fridge. You should microwave it in the fridge. It's in the fridge. Meanwhile, those times when you were newly together, you heat the food. Have you watched movies where the ladies, as she's pacing up and down? Bishop Dak shares this example very well. Pacing up and down, waiting for her husband who has not arrived, looks through the window. When there's a honk on the car, the food is all set. 5 years, 10 years later, she pretends to be asleep when you come in. She pretends. You see what I'm talking about, I'm telling you. She pretends to be asleep. Not true. She has noticed, but she now it's not from the heart, you see. It's not from the heart. It's not from the heart. Begin to pray in the spirit. 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 Ah, shnigra shatal brakos. Jekitila sambro suso pratekija prata paula. Lord, as many of these examples are being I feel like it's a camp meeting. There's a camp flow. Yeah. And that's because what we're talking about is so essential. Watch here. Don't let anything distract you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, don't leave me out of this. All the men that's been sent to me, let me recognize them for who they are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You recognize, recognize. The third one, receiving and acting on words. You receive words heartily. Or let me say, you pay attention to words that are spoken to you. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. So, honor from the heart pays attention to words. The one you pay attention to is the one you honor. The one whose words you act on is the one you honor. The one whose advice you heed to is the one you honor. You pay attention. You pay attention. You pay attention to words. Those words should mean so much to you. You pay attention to words. You know, there are some people, they do not pay attention to words. But if you're going to be somebody that walks in honor, words will mean rules and regulations set in every place or in every space concerning your work, concerning what you do. You pay attention to what is written, what is given. Try and go to work early. Are you listening? Go to work on time. You pay attention. What does God's word do to you? What does the counsel of your pastor do to you? You don't need it to be a big instruction before you now follow. You don't. You don't. In the little instructions. The years ahead will tell. But I believe that our hearts have been changed. You pay attention to words. Pay attention to counsel. You receive words. By paying attention to words, you will think on them. And that causes you to act on them. Parents will tell you, this school you are going to, and koye onho, kesiye, kesiye, nimse, the school visit kwa na wubi di yebiti miyetuya, ntuku skwa, suya, dear, dear na makaj, dear na mikaye, Mommy, you say me using adio. Pim, 1 week. He's already at sunset. One week. He doesn't know his slides. Mid-sem, Friday evening. That's when he's not. Charlie, how many slides then teach for this course? I said, Charlie, the slides born show. Meanwhile, the word of advice was sweet dear. So it means nothing. Means nothing. But you'll find an honorable person receiving words and receiving those words well. You know, they remember the words when situations arise. They remember. They don't forget. That's why when I tell someone, do this, I've forgotten. Do that, I've forgotten. It's quite serious to me. Because how can you forget? How? Why should you say you forget? To do this, you've forgotten. Please, you don't place premium on the words. If I say you should come for 4,000 cedis tomorrow, will you forget? Or you forget? Can you ever forget? You can never forget, isn't it? Yes, let's be honest. Come for 5,000 cedis tomorrow. Would you forget? Would you ever forget? At 7 a.m. Would you forget? We say we are all taking collection for you, but I'm sending it to my house. Tomorrow, come to my house. I actually don't send it to my house. You say, hey, Pastor, what time? It means that given the time you wanted to show up. But when I say, I will give you 20 pesos tomorrow, I mean, let's be serious. Would you won't come, isn't it? You see what she's saying? 20 pesos. It means 20 pesos is not, no value, right? That's what happens. So when we give you 5,000 words, not words in volume or quantity, but we tell you, this thing you are doing, be careful of it. Don't do that. Then you now say, Pastor, please, I forgot you told me. No, you're not placing premium on words. So, you're going to learn to receive. Don't forget. The whole service is about placing value, esteeming all the people and all the circumstances that I'm throwing up at you. Why should your boss tell you to do something? You say, I forgot during the weekend. Why should you forget? Let's be serious. I mean, your mother tells you, oh, sorry, I did change your no. Mommy, Rafi. Why? And that's why you come and say, my mom doesn't, my mom is always against me. Not against you. You don't clean, you don't sweep, you don't mop, you don't cook, you can't cook. You wanted to be laughing at you. I mean, my mother is worse. She said, you don't cook, you don't mop, you don't clean. Hey, no, not in this house. Say they don't like you. Why don't they like you? My boss doesn't like you. Why doesn't he like you? If you came to work on time, you did what you had to do on time. You were there at the right time. You paid attention to details. You put things in their rightful place. The like will come. It's automatic. It will come. You don't need to hide, force them to like you. But I know it's changing from today. Every heart of rebellion is cancelled. Take your seats. Don't stand. So, you're going to learn to be able to acknowledge. Acknowledge. And then you pay attention. You receive the words that come to you. We give you songs to sing. Sing it like this. Then you say, oh, I forgot. Why should you forget? Sing it. Are we? You sing it. Ah, woo, woo. Choristers. You forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Place premium on words. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Place premium on words. Place premium on counsel. Place premium on the things spoken to you. In secret and in the open, place premium on those things. Sit down and turn and look to your neighbor. Say, are you going to be somebody that receives words rightly? Some of you are disciples of other people. Your teacher will tell you, do this. You say, I'll do. I'll do. Okay, I'll do. But don't force me to do. I'll do it at my own time. No, don't do that. Honor begets honor. As you honor, your life is going to be a life that will be honored as well. Receive words. Keep them in your heart. Let those words stay. Don't trivialize them. Don't trivialize them. You learn to honor in the person's presence and absence. It's also honor from the heart. Yeah. You learn to place value, esteem in the person's presence and in the person's absence. The Lord is stirring many hearts to honor, to value, to esteem. In the name of Jesus.